So today we're joined by author and photojournalist Robert Miller, author of Trial by Fire, which was produced almost 50 years ago, documenting the workings of the Quincy Fire Department. And Robert is here to tell us a little bit about how that happened and what he's doing again starting this year in 2024. Robert, it's great to meet you, first of all.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's quite a story that you were a young 21-year-old college student back in, what, 1975?
1975 and 1976.
Yeah. Having lunch out on Wollaston Beach.
Pretty much.
Saw a huge fire truck go by and said, I want to do my my documentary for school on fire departments.
Right, yeah. Exactly. When I, this program was quite interesting. I had to apply. It was very much a hard climb to get in. I had a great portfolio. I had some great college professors back in Dearborn, Michigan that wrote some letters, and I was accepted. I think there was 80 people that were accepted from around the world, and it was a pretty elite thing. It was called University Film Studies Center. And delighted to go, and I came here, and we met in Quincy, and the story goes, everybody knew what they were doing, but I had no clue what I was gonna do. And we were eating fish and chips, and I remember that, and I'm going, lobster, this is good. And then this big, huge fire truck comes screaming by, and there was a tiller guy in the back. I never seen anything like it. I go, I think that's what I'm gonna do.
You were awestruck.
I was awestruck, yeah. The sound and the feeling of everything, and everybody was looking at me, and I said, excuse me, but I gotta go find this place. So I asked one of the persons there at the restaurant, and they go, well, you gotta go down over here at Quincy Avenue, blah, blah, blah. And I hopped in my car, and I drove there. And I got there, and I was a little bit nervous. I'm trying to think, how do I start this conversation? Elevator speech, whatever, you know,
right.
I knew about that. So I went in, and a couple of firefighters said, yeah, you got to go upstairs. You know, the chiefs, I happen to be here. So I went upstairs and approached it, knocked on the door. The door was open. He invited me in. And I basically said to him, I said, my name is Robert Miller. I'm a college student. I'm trying to jam this all together. And I said, I have to do a photo thesis, video thesis, and I think I'd like to do it on the Quincy Fire Department. And him being very stoic, there was no expression, there was nothing. He looked at me and there was a long pause, and I go, I think I blew it. And then he just gave a quick smile and he goes, I like this. I like it a lot.
We should mention Chief Ed Barry at the time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Chief Barry, yep, sorry. And then that's what happened. He goes, you can stay here. And he goes, my guys will train you, we'll keep you safe, you know? And that's how it started.
And that's the story, yeah.
That's the story.
We want to take a little step back, and for folks who don't know, tell me how, you know, about your story. You're not from Massachusetts originally.
No, I'm from Michigan.
Yep.
I started at a community college in Michigan. I was always in photography. I was really good at it. I knew that I wanted to do it, but I didn't know how to do it to the point of what I could do with it. I was not interested in shooting weddings. I wasn't interested in shooting landscapes. So what I did was I did the traditional route. You know, I went through college, and what I really did was everything I learned out here just fully clicked.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Henry Ford. It was a community college in Dearborn.
Okay.
And then I attended the Summer Institute. So I got my teeth here, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I went back, I finished up. I got out of college, and I had some offerings for employment. One was a potential, believe it or not, with Nat Geo, but it was not a full offer, it was an inquiry, and I was kind of amused by it, but I was also terrified with it, because it would meant if I decided to even pursue that, they would throw me in some remote part of the world, and I probably wouldn't be coming home for a couple of years,
oh, all
and
right.
I was not mature enough. But then I had an offer with a company called Honeywell Photographic. They knew my abilities, they knew what I did, they seen my portfolio, somebody shared it, and they offered me a job, and complete with company car, and I moved to Chicago, and I started in that industry.
I see. How old were you then?
24.
Wow, okay.
23, yeah. Actually.
All right.
Yeah. And then, you know how it goes, you do things, and then I ended up in video with Panasonic, and then I ended up getting married, and it goes through. I jumped around, I did a lot of interesting things. To kind of shorten it all up, I ended up working for Sharp Electronics, and then I was recruited to RCA, which was David Sarnoff Research Center in Princeton, New Jersey, and I was an advanced business development guy with technology. Got involved with LEDs, spun off a company, came back to the Michigan, and ran that company, but started my own company, and I started doing advanced lighting designs for automotive.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. So I was involved with light. I was still messing with photography.
Yeah.
And then what happened was I did that on and off and built the business, built, you know, jumping around, but it was good. And then what happened was is that my dad in 1995 suddenly dropped dead of a heart attack, we think it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then 3 weeks later, we found a journal. My mom and I were going through his bureau, and the journal was wrapped up in brown paper with a brown paper string around it, and my mom forgot about it. I knew nothing about it. She goes, oh my God, this is his journal. She gave it to me, I unwrapped it. It was soiled, it was dirty. It said POW, it was from the YMCA. And inside there was my dad's horrific memories of his war. And he was a prisoner of war and marched 825 miles to Stalag 7A outside Munich, Germany.
Is that right?
And I had four kids at the time, with one coming. They'd be my fifth, Patrick. And I really couldn't do anything, but I kept looking at this thing, and I actually would cry when I would read it.
Mm.
So I knew that one day I was going to do something. And that's where the merge of photo and writing came, because I always loved writing. Wasn't very good at it, but you get really good when you start doing it. So I decided I was going to write a book, and thank God I did, because my mom, for the last 2 years of her life, I used to stop by every week and spend 2, 3, 4 hours with her asking her about the war. She was involved in an accident. She ended up dying 6 weeks later. On her deathbed, I said, I'm going to write my dad's book, your loving husband's book, and I wrote it, Hidden Hell. And
it's ironic that we're recording this on the 80th anniversary of D-Day today.
Exactly, because I would be there, and I have been there.
Is that right?
Yeah. So Hidden Hell was launched, and turns out to be, long story short again, the book was sensationalized by the French government, and I was actually invited to D-Day, the 65th anniversary, by the White House and Nicolas Sarkozy to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the book I brought. And I ended up meeting all President Obama, the dignitaries, and I met Helen Patton, the general's granddaughter.
Yeah.
And she ended up publishing that book, which launched it a little bit further.
Yes.
And then I did another book for Portraits of Service about military stories, taking our photography. I partnered with my longtime partner, co-author, who lives in Germany. His name is Andrew. He's British. We get along great, so we did Portraits of Service, and then together we were approached by National Geographic, How Things Go.
Amazing, yeah.
And National Geographic wanted a book, and we kept turning them down, but I said, we better stop. So we did, and we wrote that book, and it just exploded from there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How did you finally end up in Quincy, Robert?
Yeah. Well, I started going through my history of my pictures, and I loved the pictures of the fire department. I was actually, there's so much memories there, it was unbelievable.
You spent, what, 2 years?
Two summers,
okay.
Two summers. And I ended up deciding to reach out, call, and I did. And
okay.
I ended up connecting with Chief Jackson. He was nice, he listened to me. And he thought it was pretty cool, and we were trying to do something
kind of
last
like what
year.
Chief Barry did first, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think Chief Jackson was a little bit more friendly, so that was good. But yeah, and this just evolved, and so the idea is to take what I get today in the pictures and combine it and make it then and now.
Okay.
And
okay.
I have a book agent, and he is promoting publishers, which we have a few that are interested.
Oh, good. Okay.
And we plan on try to jam out a book for next year.
Is that
for
right?
Quincy 400.
Right, 400th anniversary of the city's settlement. Here.
Yeah, and it'll be my 50th anniversary from the time that I was here.
Wow. So the first one is called Trial by Fire.
Correct.
Have you had a name for the second one?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We have some pseudonames, but we're not sure yet.
Oh, all right.
You know?
Okay.
You kind of have to shoot the photographs
and
to understand
what you
want.
Let them tell the story?
Want.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing of this whole thing is the fire station. And all the fire stations are the same. There's some pictures on the wall that are still remembered by me. I mean, I was awestruck when I walked through the building yesterday and was able to sleep. The smells came back, the slight smoke,
yep.
The noises, and it's been an amazing, beyond amazing experience to witness. And I can tell you it's different, though. Mm. When you get out into the streets, Chief Jackson was 5 years old when I was photographing.
Right.
And I'm proud to say that I'm glad I'm here, but there's a difference in contrast of what was and what is now.
How so?
You know, accidents were different back then. Yeah. Alcohol was a major factor.
You talk about that in your book, actually.
I do, yeah. Because I was moved terribly by what I saw.
Right.
And there was too many young adults my age that were dying on the streets Friday and Saturday nights, and I have the records. And it made me pause and made me reflect, and I go, you know, life is worth living, and it's not worth wasting, mm-hmm. and be smarter. And it helped. Mm-hmm. I walked away from some foolish things as you grow up, you know, because of this experience. Mm. And then again, building fires were a lot different. I mean, there was a lot of them. And I was exhausted most of the time because it was one right after another. I remember several nights being on rescue truck because I never could get dressed in time. I had a bunk. I had to sleep in my underwear because it was always 100 degrees, it seemed. And firefighters kind of loved it because I would grab my clothes, I would run to the fire pole, I would throw them down, and I would slide down the pole in my underwear, grab my clothes, run into the back of the rescue truck, and get dressed because mm-hmm. my camera was there.
I see. So interesting. So will you try and do the same thing 50 years later, Robert?
No, I'm not jumping down no poles.
Well, no poles in your
no
underwear?
Poles. I ask about that, you know,
Do they still have the pole?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they do. I probably, you know, if I get the courage, but they wanted to put me in an oven yesterday, and I kind of declined a little bit, you know, and I was amazed at that.
But you will be staying at headquarters?
Yeah. Last night I did 3 runs.
You did?
Yep.
Okay.
I woke up, I didn't miss any, and I do have the distinction of saying I've never missed a run in my life.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You know, underwear, no underwear, you know.
Did it ever inspire you to get into the fire service at all, or has anybody in your family?
No. I have okay. nobody. What it inspired me was the respect mm-hmm. for this.
Yep.
It probably paved the way for the involvement of writing my dad's book with veterans.
Really?
Because there's a lot of similarity with the camaraderie. I mean, I feel I've known these guys for 100 years already.
Well, many of them are veterans. Chief Barry
That's
was
correct.
A veteran.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But even the young guys today, you know, there's a magical mixture of people there.
Hmm.
And they invite me into their world, and I'm able to experience it. I'm able to point my camera mm-hmm. and get a bit of their world and take it with me. And that means a lot.
That's what I wanted to ask you, is what do you kind of hope to show people of Quincy about their fire department and about the people that make it up?
Well, 2 things are coming to mind. I think a lot of people aren't aware of what it was like in 1975 and 76, and I have a rare opportunity that I was here.
Yes.
And I was here with my lens and my focus of understanding really what was going on and focused on it. You know, and I have to tell this because when I used to get out of the truck the first couple of weeks, I was real naive. Mm-hmm. And I had
You had no training,
clue.
No firefighter training.
Nope,
you're a 21-year-old college
safe.
Kid, right?
I know that I had to get down low. You know, they gave me great training
sure.
and all that. But
sure.
what does that mean when you don't do it?
Right.
You know, but I ended up doing it a couple of times.
Yeah.
But what was happening is that I'd get out and there would be these terrific accidents. And I would pause and I would go in the back line, back away,
mm.
and I'd put my camera to my eye, I would take it down, and I would pause, and I couldn't take the picture.
Really?
And that's exactly what the training was all about.
Yes.
How to understand an unfortunate circumstance, but to put yourself in a spot where you're going to document it. And then be able to share that for the benefit of teaching, benefit of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Not to show the gruesome things for YouTube. It was more of, okay, how does this work visually and how can you show other people tastefully?
Okay.
And that's what I learned how to do. And before 3 weeks into it, I was a pro. I knew what to do. Mm-hmm. I knew where to go. When a house was burning, I knew what to do, where to go, what to expect.
Sure.
And the stories are terrific. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, will you be in the city the whole time that you're documenting this? You will
be.
Okay.
I'm not going anywhere to Sunday evening.
All right.
To Michigan.
Yeah. You'll be attending the firefighters' memorial service this coming Sunday as well. Documenting that, I'm assuming.
You bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so great to talk to you and learn more about your story.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Quincy.
It has been a pleasure. The town is grown. The people are beautiful.
I was just going to say, what's the biggest change you've noticed just riding around the city?
I mentioned there's so much difference, but you know what's really cool? I recognize the intersections and the streets, mm-hmm. and as odd as it is, they're all new buildings, but you go, wow, I've been here, you know? And, you know, it was different. I had a bike, and I rode all around the town, you know, when I needed a break.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful town, and hats off to the mayor because this town is elevated to something spectacular.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've noticed the difference, obviously, in the equipment that the firefighters use today, but also their methods and their practicing, their training. You know,
it's all encompassing. In fact, the tiller truck was here, and then it went away.
That's right.
And then
now it's back.
It's back.
Yeah.
And today I had an opportunity to photograph it, be on it, get into the ladders, and do some interesting shots that I did before. Because when I left my last day here, Chief Jackson put me inside the ladders. I think there was a ladder thing, and they strapped me in, and they drove through the town of Quincy as my goodbye gift.
Is that right? Oh,
yeah.
Chief Barry, you mean, back then?
Yeah, Chief Barry,
okay.
Sorry.
Interesting.
And, it was, I had a videotape at the time,
yes,
but that's long gone, and I wish I had my camera, but I could only choose one.
Yeah.
But I do have the shot.
You know, I was curious, you were going to school in Boston, or Cambridge, right?
Well, yeah, you'd meet there every so often, but it was out of Amherst.
Oh, Amherst, okay.
So I would go back and forth, you know, because you had to check in, you had to show your work, get the check. And I was one, we were supposed to do a project a year, because it was a two-year program. I convinced them that I'm doing one project, because I'm not going to be done with it. And I ended up winning, and I ended up taking good honors.
I was just going to ask, what was the score?
Yeah, I did really
well. You did well.
It was, it was very well received,
and
I did a print exhibition, plus you had to get up and talk about it, and I did, and I learned, and I put it in my pocket, and I said, this was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
But it's interesting that you chose to do it in Quincy and not in Amherst, you know, where you were going to school,
It's just fate.
Yeah.
That fish and chips joint.
That did it.
And that did it.
Do you remember
it.
The name of the place?
I think it was called Rise, R-I-S-E.
Okay.
And again, I remember it was a white building with picnic tables in the front.
Okay.
You know, and they had the best shrimp around.
Wow. Yes. Do you still keep in touch with your colleagues that you were there that day?
No.
No.
We all went different paths.
I see.
You know, it's just the way a life works, you know.
Right.
I wish I did, because there's a few of them that I would really like to connect. One was from New York.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he'll see this interview. His name is Seth. You never know.
Okay. So in your new book, will you do side-by-side comparison?
Yes. We want to do that.
Okay.
We're going to actually have some side-by-side images.
Interesting.
So it'd be good. So I have Trial by Fire. I'm going to walk around as the Bible, and then I'm going to say yes and need to take that picture.
Gotcha. Okay. Obviously, photography itself has changed in the past 50 years, right?
It has.
Yeah, from film to digital.
Yeah, I used to shoot, I shot everything on slide film, and because it gave me a little bit more dynamic range. And I remember going, I got 18 rolls of film, you know, I can't get it developed here, where am I going to get it developed, you know, and are my pictures good? But they were.
Mm-hmm.
So here now it's instant.
Some are black and white, some are in color.
They were all shot in color, but I have digitized them. And then I placed them in black and white if I needed to.
Oh, I see. Okay. So will the format of the new book be the same? Kind of a
photo book.
Journal?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. With some writings and kind of my interpretation. And
some insights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice anything in headquarters that was there then that's still there today that you added?
Ah, that's a really good question. We were talking about that. I gave... I don't remember who a stack of pictures, but I didn't see them there.
Okay.
They could be tucked away in somebody's attic, you know how things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, everything's pretty much the same. there's nothing really that I added, but it was nice to come back and touch the tables, and just everything's the same.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the current chief would would not be happy to hear that things are still the same 50 years yeah. later.
But you know what? It's a good same. It really yeah. is. The guys are happy there. They generally like the place. I talked to them last night, and they yeah. go, this is a comfortable place. It's ours. Mm. And I get it.
Well, they're called fire houses, you know,
yeah.
so they try and make it like a second home.
Yeah.
So
and it was.
Yeah. So great to meet you and hear your story. And please enjoy your time here in Quincy.
I am absolutely loving it. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and very much appreciate the time we spent together. And I hope to do the city proud.
You're very welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.